Well, hello, and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you and your family had a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you're a little bit like me, you ate too much and you fell asleep on the couch. Perfect Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving really is a wonderful holiday, and it's not because of the gluttony. It's because it's about family, and it's about being thankful and reflective, looking for reasons, maybe reasons we wouldn't normally see, reasons to be thankful. And I'm hopeful that you maybe got in on a little bit of that as well. I'd actually be curious, maybe we could see a show of hands, how many people, part of your Thanksgiving tradition is to go around the table and everyone says what they're thankful for. Does anyone do that? Oh, I love doing that. Cool. All right, here's what we're doing today. We are finishing up a series of talks about prayer, about how prayer matters, it changes lives, it changes the world. How prayer, it can be hard sometimes to learn to pray. So Jesus takes the time to teach us how to pray. Using the Lord's Prayer, focusing on the Lord's Prayer, we've been going to Jesus's prayer school. So for Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to see that in the Lord's Prayer, there are tons of reasons to be thankful. Reasons to be thankful. Actually, let me show you. We'll put up the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew 6, and we'll just go through it, and you can spot reasons in the Lord's Prayer to be thankful. This then is how you should pray, Jesus said. Our Father in heaven, right there at the start, God as our Father. If the King of the universe has adopted you to be his son or daughter, that's something to be thankful for. Hallowed be your name. Like little kids, we can have the best father ever as the center of our world. Our lives can revolve around him. That's something to be thankful for. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, the King of the universe, he's in charge, more and more so. He's taking charge. Really, what he's doing, he's making this world, he's making us, if we let him, perfect. Absolutely perfect. That is amazing. Thank you for that. Give us today our daily bread. Yeah, thanks for all the stuff in our lives. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Thanks for forgiving our sins. Jesus, thanks for dying on a cross for us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thanks for protecting us from bad things, from the devil. Amen. You see, the Lord's Prayer is a Thanksgiving prayer. It is a perfect prayer for Thanksgiving. So we're going to press into that. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to take this idea of Thanksgiving, being thankful, and we're going to put it together with something that we've already kind of seen as we've gone through this. We've seen that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that takes us deeper and deeper. It takes us deeper in with our relationship with God. The Lord's Prayer really is pure genius. I mean, it is beautiful in its elegance and its simplicity, and yet it is stunningly complete. It's got everything in it, from our daily needs to our need for meaning in our life. It shows us how to relate to everything in our lives, to ourselves, to other people, to God. It shows us God, what's important to him, Jesus' mission. You know, we could take a lifetime exploring the depths of the Lord's Prayer. We could. Are we? I fear that most of us aren't. And sadly, we're missing out. Maybe because we don't yet see how super important prayer is in our lives. Maybe it's because we think prayer is easy. You know, it's just talking to God. I don't need a lesson. Or maybe it's just that we have other excuses. In this series, as we've been going through this, I've challenged all of us to spend 20 minutes a day continuously praying every day during November, as a time to put Jesus' prayer lessons into practice. Well, hey, it's the end of November, so how's it been going? Have you been doing it? If you have, great, terrific. Now, how about December? Seriously, I mean, the experts say it usually takes about two months to develop a habit. So you're halfway to developing an awesome habit. And let's not be like all religious about this either, okay? You know, I've messed up. There's been days I've missed doing this. You know, you can't get God to love you more by praying for 20 minutes each day. But you sure can open yourself up to experiencing his love. And yeah, if you haven't yet done it, I'm just going to invite you again to join in, to try this. It is so worth it. Pressing into prayer, pressing into the Lord's Prayer. For me, for many years, the last thing I would do before I went to bed every night was pray the Lord's Prayer. And after each phrase in the prayer, I would stop and I would pause and think about my life. You know, how is God my Father? Where has He been honored? Where have or haven't I seen His will be done? And that was a cool way to pray. I tell you, I had some great conversations with God. I mean, and during that, God did things to me. He helped change my heart to rearrange my priorities in life. This prayer, it seriously works. Dallas Willard, philosophy professor, all-around smart guy, he says this, "I personally did not find the Lord's Prayer to be the doorway into a praying life until I was in my mid-20s. In my family, that prayer was, for three generations I know of, always said in unison at the breakfast table. But at some point, for reasons I cannot explain, I began to use it in a new way, taking each phrase of it and slowly and meditatively entering into the depths of its meaning, elaborating within it important details of my current life. When I began to live in the prayer in this way, for that is the only way I can describe it, there were many nights when I would awaken about 2 o'clock and spend an hour of delight before God just dwelling in one or more phrase from it." This prayer works. It seriously works. Now, you're going to do what you want. But my prayer for you is that each of you receive this gift from God, the Lord's Prayer, and that it becomes something that you are truly thankful for. Okay, so yeah, I love the Lord's Prayer. But if this prayer is so great, where is the good news? Where's the gospel in it? You know the good news, right? That we're all hopelessly broken and we can't fix ourselves. There's nothing we can do. But Jesus comes and He dies on a cross. He pays the price for our sins to rescue us. And if we have faith, if we trust and believe in Him, we can be made right. I love how the Apostle Paul, early church planter, follower of Jesus, he put this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." This faith business, trusting in God, it's a big deal. Not having faith, not trusting God, gets us into serious problems. It got Adam and Eve into some big problems. So if faith is such a big deal, how come in the Lord's Prayer it doesn't include praying for faith? Great question. I'm so glad you all asked. Actually, it leads to some really interesting philosophical and theological debates, arguments about what is faith and what is free will and how do we work and how do God work? How does God work? And I love nerding out on big ideas like these. But for the sake of time, we're going to keep this short. Opinions vary. But I am not so sure that we can pray for faith like the way we might imagine. It may work differently than we think. So for me, in my life, I want to, and there's sure, there's been lots of times I have prayed for my children that they would have faith, that they would believe. God, make my three children believe in You, surrender to You. But here's the thing. In my life, I've never had any success making people trust me if they don't want to. And I suspect that for God, the only way that He can force us to believe in Him is if He takes away our free will. And God, He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't do that because if He does, then what's He left with? Robots. He doesn't just want robot love. He wants true love. So for me, in my life, more often I pray for my children, God, bring great people into their lives, people that will point them to Jesus, orchestrate, choreograph their lives, Holy Spirit, so that it builds their faith in You. Now, to be clear, I don't think there's anything wrong praying for faith. I mean, faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Jesus Himself prayed that Peter's faith would not fail, Luke 22. I just think it's not as simple as we might imagine. Okay, enough philosophical talk. Let's get really practical here. The Lord's Prayer. What's in the Lord's Prayer? Well, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus does not tell us to pray for faith. But, and this is a big but if you press into this prayer, if you go deep into it, boy, does it build up your faith. This is a faith-producing prayer, and that's what we're going to look at today. That's what we're going to explore. Today, Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to look at the second half of the Lord's Prayer. The give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptations. And we're going to look for reasons to be thankful, including how this genius prayer builds up our faith. Like the Apostle Paul, like he starts so many of his letters being thankful to God for faith, today we're going to be thankful for faith. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Actually, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. We got the words on the screen, and as I've mentioned, the early church has tacked on a little ending on the Lord's Prayer. It's not in the earliest manuscripts. That's why we don't have it on the screen of what's in Mark 6. But if you know it, go ahead and say it. And if you don't, it's okay. It's all good. So together, let's dare to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Nice. God, thank you for everything, including this amazing prayer. So, give us today our daily bread. Father, thank you for all the stuff. What stuff? Well, all the good stuff. Like it says in James 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Yeah, when we pray, give us our daily bread, we're not just praying for our morning toast. We're praying for so much more than that. Daryl Johnson, a professor, he writes a cool little book on the Lord's Prayer, and he describes all that we're praying for this way. He says, so what is it that Jesus teaches us to pray for in the fourth petition? For physical bread? For everything necessary for functioning in this world, for everything we need to live a kingdom life, for spiritual sustenance, for Jesus himself, for something of the glorious future when we shall never hunger again. That's a lot to be thankful for. Look around your life. Do you see any of this stuff? Look around. I mean, we live in America. We have so much, and we have Jesus. So many reasons to be thankful. If we were all around the Thanksgiving table now, and that would be a very big table, if we're all around the table and we were going to go around and say what we were thankful for, what would you say? Whatever that is, just thank God for it right now. Just thank him. Thank you, God, for this thing. Okay, how deep our thanks goes largely depends on how we would answer this question, which is, where does our stuff, our security, really come from? Does it come from God in like an abstract sense? Like, yeah, God created everything, but most of my stuff, it comes from the store. It says, give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly, not our monthly, daily. Jesus, he's inviting us to live. Basically, he's inviting us to live one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Do we? Or do we have food in our refrigerator that's going to last more than one day? Do we have money in our bank accounts? Or, well, maybe, you know, room on our credit card that'll keep us going for a while? I wonder, when God looks at us, what does he see? Does he see children? Children like the children where their mom finds the kids are like squirreling away pieces of toast and a little bit of cereal and maybe a few strips of bacon in their room because the kids are afraid. They're worried, they're fearful that they won't get breakfast someday. How does that make a father feel? Now, there's nothing wrong with planning ahead or shopping, you know, weekly instead of daily. Dallas Willard, he says, What hinders or shuts down kingdom living is not the having of such provisions, but rather the trusting in them for future security. And you know, it's misplaced trust. I was talking to a physician here just last weekend, and we were talking about how it's great to have loads of money in your bank account, but it's really true what they say. If you get the right disease, give it 2 months and all your money will be gone. There's no real security in our bank accounts. Now, do you see what this is really all about? It's about what we put our trust in, what we put our faith in. Daryl Johnson, he puts it this way. Praying this one day at a time prayer, of course, poses a crisis of faith. Faith. Is the Father of Jesus able to provide one day at a time? Is the Father of Jesus faithful to provide? Will he come through tomorrow and the next day until we are finally in the promised land? What do you think? Will God give us our daily bread? Yeah, he sure will. He'll give us that, but if we pray for it, if we enter into this prayer, what happens is it changes us. God changes our heart through praying for our daily bread. He changes what we put our security in. He changes what we're dependent on. Do you see what he's doing? He's building faith in us. So Father, yeah, thanks for the stuff, but even more, thanks for the faith. It's the faith that's the treasure. Many of us have seen this, actually during the giving campaign, building communities of hope. When we've thought about giving, we've had to think about where does our stuff come from? Who does it belong to? And the real gift there is the faith. Press into this. This is something to spend our 20 minutes on. Okay, next. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, thanks for the forgiveness. From what? What debts? Well, some of us, especially in our culture, we have a hard time seeing what we need forgiveness for. N.T. Wright, the brilliant Anglican theologian, he says this, "Our generation has either forgotten about forgiveness or trivialized it. Once you replace morality with the philosophy that says, if it feels good, do it, there isn't anything to forgive. If you still feel hurt by something, our culture suggests that you should simply retreat into your private world and pretend it didn't happen. In that sort of world, I don't need God to forgive me, and I don't need to forgive anybody else either. Or, if people do still think about forgiveness, they seldom get beyond the small-scale private forgiveness of small-scale private sins. They hope God will forgive their picadillos, I love that word, picadillos, and they try to at least smile benignly at their neighbor's follies. Instead of genuine forgiveness, our generation has been taught the vague notion of tolerance. This is, at best, a low-grade parody of forgiveness. At worst, it's a way of sweeping the real issues in human life under the carpet. Forgiveness is richer and higher and harder and more shocking than we usually think. Jesus' message offers the genuine article, and it insists that we should accept no man-made substitutes. What do we need? What do we offer others? Genuine forgiveness or just tolerance? When we pray, forgive us our debts, what are we asking for? Dallas Willard, I love how he says that many followers of Jesus, when we pray, forgive us our debts, what we're asking is, God, give me a break. God, just give me a break. This saves the ego and its egotism. I am not a sinner. I just need a break. But no, I need more than a break. I need pity because of who I am. If my pride is untouched when I pray for forgiveness, I have not prayed for forgiveness. I don't even understand it. In the model prayer, Jesus teaches us to ask for pity with reference to our wrongdoings. do we need God's pity? Yeah, we do. And let's not get hung up on our pride. What is our debt, really? What is the debt that we owe God? It's obedience. Obedience to our King and our Creator. When we fail to have trust and obey God, what we're doing is we're creating a debt to Him. We're racking up a debt. And if we look around our lives, that is an enormous debt. It's a massive debt. In fact, let's take a little time now to actually feel the weight of that debt that we owe God. We'll take a little time because this debt really can crush us if we spend too much time thinking about it. So, in our lives, where have we failed to trust and obey God? Think about the Ten Commandments. Do we have gods before Him? Idols? Have we failed to honor our father or our mother? Is there any murder, adultery, stealing, lying, coveting? Or maybe think about the Sermon on the Mount. Any lust or misplaced anger in our lives? Any failure to love our enemy and turn the other cheek? Is there any greed or worry or judgment sneaking into our lives? What have you done to other people, to ourselves, to God? Holy Spirit, now, help us feel the weight of our debt. Where have we failed to do God's will? This is something that's worth thinking about, spending our 20 minutes talking to God about. I'd encourage you to reread the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Maybe read Job 31 and talk to God about obedience and your debt to Him. Let's not get hung up on our pride. We all need pity. Have we asked God, God, forgive us our debts? Because He does. Oh my goodness, it is amazing. God forgives us. I love how Paul describes this good news. He says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Picture that. All of the bad things we have done nailed to the cross. The price of all of it paid in full by Jesus' blood. It is hard to think of anything to be more thankful for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Is there anything you need forgiveness for? Don't miss out. Ask Him for it. Can we ask Him? Because remember exactly how this prayer goes, right? And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does that mean? Now, remember the good news, right? The gospel, that we are saved, we are made right through faith, through belief, faith alone. So the fact that we need to forgive others, that can't be a new rule. It can't be a way we earn God's forgiveness, a condition. No. Martin Luther, he said that when we fail to forgive others, we're basically just telling God we don't want to be forgiven. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, I asked you for forgiveness, but never mind that, God. I don't really want to be forgiven. Forget that. I don't know. Maybe that's how it works. Or maybe it's that when we refuse to forgive others, it's like we never asked for forgiveness in the first place because we didn't understand it. We didn't know what to ask for. Jesus, He tells a seriously disturbing story in Matthew 18. He says, the kingdom of God is like a king who had a servant who owed him millions of dollars and the debt is due. And the servant, he begs, he pleads, he says, please give me more time to pay this off. Don't throw me into jail. And the king, surprisingly, has pity on him and he forgives the whole debt. Wipes it all away. completely canceled. Well, this servant, he has another guy who owes him maybe a couple $100, but he won't let it go. He won't forgive him. Well, the king, he finds out about this, and he is furious. He is so angry. He throws the servant into prison. He is tortured until he pays back every cent of what he owes, all the millions. Yikes. Holy cow. This story, absolutely, there's lessons here about hypocrisy and being thankful. But what exactly does it teach us about asking for forgiveness? Where did the servant go wrong and how he asked for forgiveness? Well, you know, it kind of looks like all he was asking for is a break. Just give me a break. You know, this isn't so bad. If you give me more time, I'm not such a bad guy. We can work this out. It doesn't look like he was asking or expecting to get pity. No. And when the whole debt is forgiven, he doesn't see how incredible it is. Maybe he just didn't see how big the debt was, or maybe he just had so many excuses. The point is, between give me a break and what the king did, those are two different worlds. And the servant, he is trapped in the give me a break world. So, how does this apply to us and asking for forgiveness? Well, the real question is, what world are we in? Are we in the forgive us our debts world, or are we in the give me a break world? One world is incredible. Seriously, it is front page, incredible, shocking news, like little green space people showing up kind of thing. The other one is, well, normal, right? It's just kind of like business-like. In one world, the debt is ginormous. This is a debt that we could never, ever, no way, ever repay. The other one, well, the debt's not so bad. It's not such a big deal. We got plenty of excuses. In one world, everyone's level. Everyone's even. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You were all humbled by Jesus' staggering generosity. In the other world, well, no, we're ranked according to our merit. It's performance-based. In one world, we put our trust in God. We put our faith in Jesus and what he did. In the other world, we can still keep our pride. We can keep our ego. We can put our faith in ourselves. See, these are very different worlds. One is the kingdom of God, and the other is the road to hell. Which world are we in? Which world are we in? Do you know how you can tell? We can tell based on how we forgive others. Experiencing incredible forgiveness inevitably leads to extending incredible forgiveness. The only people who ever say, oh, well, God's kingdom, that's just for me, right? My sins were nailed to that cross. But, you know, you jokers, you're going to have to earn my forgiveness. The only people who say that are people who have only been given a break. They've never experienced God's incredible forgiveness. Now, I know forgiving others is hard. It's painful. I've struggled with it a bit myself lately. And I'm pretty sure you can't do it alone. You can't really say, that debt is forgiven. I am not collecting that. It is gone. Unless we do some work with Jesus. We take the pain and the hurt and the debt and we give it to him. And he gives us in exchange his love and his forgiveness for that person. Yeah, this takes time. And it often takes tears. But here's the cool thing. It leads us to where we want to go, to the kingdom of God. As I've struggled with the debts that others have owed to me, how they've hurt me and letting that go, well, it's caused me to look at my own debt and how big it is and how I could never, no, none of us could ever repay it. And to really see that the only thing we got is faith. Faith is all we have. See, as we forgive our debtors, God does something amazing in our hearts. He changes us. He gives us the faith to truly ask for forgiveness. Forgiving others, it does both. It's both a sign that we have experienced incredible forgiveness and. It's a tool that God uses to develop the faith that we need to explore the depths of His forgiveness. See, it's about faith, again, about faith. And this faith is totally worth thanking God for. This faith is worth pressing into and experiencing even more. So even now, we're going to take a little time. I want to do something here where we kind of do a forgiveness exercise. So we're going to need the Holy Spirit for this. So Holy Spirit, come. I ask that you help us relax. I ask that you help us be open to you. And so to start this off, just think in your mind about the person that it's hard for you to forgive. Who is that? Picture their face. And if you're not sure who it is, just ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. Who is it that He's focusing in on right now that you need to forgive? Okay, now I would invite all of us to tell the Father that person's name. And then tell the Father what exactly they've done to you. Be specific and honest and even brutal. Talk to the Father. Now, tell the Father what you'd like to see done to that person. And don't be shy, He already knows what you're thinking. How would you like to see them punished, shamed, hurt the way you've been hurt? Okay, we're going to go on a little journey together. And if you want, you can close your eyes for this part. Imagine yourself at the foot of a dusty hill. And at the top of that hill, there's a cross. And yeah, Jesus is nailed to that cross. And you hear Him inviting you to come up the hill. So as we go up the hill towards Jesus on His cross, what do you want to say to Him? Do you want to tell Him the same things that you just told the Father? Picture Jesus in your mind. Look into His eyes. Tell Him how hard it is to forgive. Okay, now we're going to go back down to the bottom of the hill. And there is the person that hurt you. And together, we're going to go back up the hill. Take them up the hill to the foot of Jesus' cross. And when we get there, look at that person and say to Jesus, Jesus, give that person what you've given me. Jesus, give them what you've given me. And hear Jesus say, I will. I will. And dear child, let me take your hurt. Let me take all of your pain. I am so proud of you. It takes faith to forgive. Trust me. I love you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come even more now. Give us everything we need to forgive. Build in us the faith to forgive others and to truly ask for your forgiveness. You see, my friends, forgiveness is a big deal. And I suspect that many of us, we need to spend more time talking to God about forgiveness. Maybe when we're done here today, come forward and let someone pray for you about this. Your 20 minutes, a great time to spend talking to God as you're praying about forgiveness. This really matters. Okay, we have one other area to look at where we have reason to be thankful to God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, thanks for protecting us. Thanks for the protection. And in a way, this is a way of asking God, you know, keep bad things from happening to us. And you know, He does. He totally does. Jesus, He gets us. He knows us. He knows that temptations, or another way to translate that is tests or trials, that they are dangerous for us. This prayer, this part of the prayer, it's another way of saying, well, God, I don't really have faith in me that I can deal with the bad things in life, but I have faith in you, so help me out. And you know, God does. He answers that prayer. I think the more we ask for this, the more we even see it in our lives. God rescuing us, the near misses, the quick recoveries, the things that God does to spare us from the bad things in life. Now, it's not like bad things aren't going to ever happen to us. You know they are, right? Bad things happen to us. And this prayer is about that too. Now, this part is a little tricky, okay? Because God, he doesn't tempt us. It's not in his character, James 1:13. So are we asking God to do what he can't do? Lead us not in temptation? Or basically, are we saying to God, God, keep not doing what you can't do? That's odd, right? Well, you see that word that gets translated temptation. About half the time in the Bible, it gets translated test or trial. And that's the better way to translate it when it comes to God. But who does lead us into temptation? The evil one, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a reasonable way to translate it here, because the devil does do this. And so what we got to get straight here is what God does and what the devil does. What God does is he allows bad things to happen to us. He allows them, doesn't prevent them. The devil, he causes bad things to happen to us. And even more so, he wants to take those bad things and turn them into temptations. For God, they're tests, they're trials. For the devil, they're temptations. Now, why? Why do they do this? Well, God does this. He tests everyone because he knows that real life, his kingdom, forgiveness, righteousness, they all come through faith. Faith. And God loves us and he wants what's best for us. The devil, he hates God and he knows God loves us. So he wants to tempt us. He wants us for there to be sin and doubt that separates us from God. This is the world that we live in. When we pray, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil, what we are praying, we're praying, God, don't let our tests and our trials turn into temptations. God, don't let the bad things that happen in our life turn into sin and doubt. No, rather, have those bad things, have them turn into faith. Faith. See, again, this is about faith. God, thanks for the protection, but even more so, thanks for the faith. Faith. Now, look at the real world, the real world that we live in. This totally happens to us, to people we know. Bad things happen. Job losses, cancer, abuse, horrible accidents to people we know and love. And we've seen how those things happen, and they take people out. They go to bad places, dark places, where they run from God and his love. But then for other people, these bad things happen. I know in my life, cancer happened, and it actually increases our faith. Amazing things come out of it. And people like that, they say crazy things like, I am so thankful for my cancer or my bankruptcy or my time in prison. Now, okay, no sane person is thankful for cancer. That's just nuts. What they're thankful for is what God did through it. How he brought them so much deeper into a relationship with him. How he built up their faith. Their faith was built up. You see, God, what he does, he has this amazing habit of taking and growing beautiful things out of the giant pile of manure that is often our lives. Where are you at with this? Where are you at with this? Are you struggling in your life? Do you have a big pile of poop in your life right now? Because if you do, this prayer is for you. It's totally for you. God, don't let these bad things result in sin and doubt in my life. No, God, I want to hold on to you. I trust that you are good and that you will grow something beautiful out of this. That's where you want to be. And I've noticed in my life, he even does this retrospectively. As together we've looked back at the messes in my life, times that I've gone off the rails, God showed me how he's been there and he was good even through that. You see, bad things happen to us, right? Bad things happen to us. But what are we going to pray for? Are we going to pray for God to do something beautiful there? This weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, even bigger picture, are we going to allow God to give us, to develop into us something that's worth being thankful for? I sure hope we are. Why don't you stand up with me, and we're going to press into that. We're going to move into ministry time. It's a time to talk to God and interact with him about the things we've been talking about. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. Come into our midst. And I just thank you. You are so good. You are such a good God who loves us so much. You made us. You created us. You rescue us. Your love for us is overwhelming. Help us to see it. Help us to experience it. Turn our hearts in thanks to you. Help us to just cry out with you, to you with thanks. Holy Spirit, I ask that you, in each of our lives, you point out places that we've overlooked, where you are working, where we have reason to be thankful to you. Come, Holy Spirit. All the stuff in our life that we can be thankful for, all the gifts that you've been given us, but even more so, how we can put our faith in you, how we can find our security, our dependency in you. God, I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Some of us so desperately need forgiveness. Help us even now to confess. Help us just to leave those things at the foot of your cross and to find freedom, incredible freedom that you give. Others of us are struggling to forgive others, and I pray that you give us what we need to do that, to truly forgive others. Help us to give you that debt and to receive what we need to forgive. Build our faith. Others of us, God, we do have some struggles in our life, and I just pray that you grow something beautiful from them. Protect us in the midst of our struggles. Build our faith, God. You are so good, and we are so thankful to you. I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward, and we'd love to pray for you. If you're standing there right now and you're like, oh my goodness, I need to thank God, well, just run on up here and let's pray for you. Let's thank God for the amazing things that he has done in your life, the incredible things that he is doing in and amongst us. Maybe on the other hand, you are struggling and you need prayer. It could be in lots of areas, need for physical healing, struggling financially and relationships. We would love to pray for that because the answer is Jesus. God will grow something beautiful. He wants what's best for you in that situation. They're going to lead us in some more prayer, and I would just, or they're going to lead us in some more worship, which I guess is singing our praise to Jesus. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would encourage you to stay, to listen to God, to what he says about your faith and what you have to be thankful for. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.